So, Donald, I may have indulged a bit too much. My energy's been lagging. My belt is definitely on its last notch from all of the eating.
Well, the holidays can do that to you, buddy. It makes you reach for quick fixes that have rough and lasting effects on your gut. Good thing we have GT Synergy Raw Kombucha to get your gut back on track.
That's right. It's those billions of probiotics that whip the gut back into balance. And those are naturally occurring probiotics, not the added fake kind.
Drink GT Synergy to show your gut that you love them. Better health is as simple as making a few small changes, and incorporating GTs is an easy one.
You can learn more about GTs at gtslivingfoods.com/loveyourguts and pick up a bottle at your local grocery store in the refrigerated section.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Football is back on this Thursday night. Fantasy Sports Today, as we get you ready for all of the action in the NFL, college football, and some baseball as well. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. Super Bowl.
Welcome in Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia as we get you ready for week 7 of the NFL season, week 8 of the college football season, and of course the American League Championship Series continues today. I am Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia and our producer Sean Guastamacchia here on this show. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17. And here we go. Thursday night football is back. Should be a good one potentially. Maybe some good college football as well, also headed toward this week. We'll dive into it all. John Lobb will be with us coming up in just a little bit. And Joe, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition as we get ready to close out the week and get ready for another fantasy week. And a rare week where, with all the bye weeks going on, and seems like a lot of injuries have taken hold here. We've been pretty clean, I think, over the last few weeks. We've kind of known who's going to play and who is not going to play, although there have been some injuries. But what's worse in fantasy is when you don't know if your guys are going to hit the field or not, and certainly with some huge ramifications going into Sunday night and Monday night, some decisions could have to be made early.
Yeah, look, it's definitely starting to stack up that way. There's no doubt about that. Last week, obviously, the Gurley news, you know, that kind of traveled off in a bad way. But after the first month of the season where we seemed to lose at least two quarterbacks every week, things seem to get a little bit better there. And we're starting to get guys back, actually, which has been exciting. But now we've got some issues with Alvin Kamara right now, and how they're going to handle that will be fascinating to see, especially against a really good defense in the Bears, and whether or not it's smart where they say, hey, look, we've won a bunch of games. Maybe this Bears game isn't winnable anyway on the road. Maybe it is. We'll find out. But if they rest him and then they come back really strong in the second half of the season with Drew Brees, maybe that's enough, especially considering some of the teams on that schedule. But you're right. There's definitely some injuries here. But in terms of positives, the fact that Saquon Barkley is looking good, I think that's the biggest takeaway right now in fantasy, because when you're looking at getting the number one overall player back, that is a huge swing in leagues for teams that have him and for teams that potentially have traded for him when he got hurt. So this is really going to make a big difference, not just in the daily fantasy world, but the season long as well.
All right. So let's start off with the Packers, because we dove into this a little bit on Tuesday. And here we are on Thursday, and it's gotten even messier from potentially where we were talking about this. It looks like Valdez-Scantling is going to be questionable for this game. Geronimo Allison is also going to be questionable for this game. And Devontae Adams is not going to play. It's Aaron Rodgers, okay? So the potential is definitely still there for 250 yards and a touchdown or two. And the question is, who is going to suit up and get this action? And as we talked about on Tuesday, Joe, every single fantasy league that I'm playing in, 12-team league, 15-team league, guillotine league, Alan Lazard has been picked up in all of them. So at this point, and even in my dynasty league where he was just sitting on the waiver wire, somebody threw $2 at him. So I guess the question is that, is he the number one wide receiver in Green Bay? I wish I would have gotten him. I didn't get him in any league, but man, I mean, it seems to me this guy could be in for a massive game on Sunday.
He could. It's possible. They also signed Ryan Grant, who is a veteran wide receiver who's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. And I think he's capable. Now, whether or not he's capable of ingratiating himself with Aaron Rodgers quickly, we'll find out. That seems to be the biggest problem, is Aaron Rodgers' confidence level. And like you said, you pointed out, I think it was even on yesterday's show when we did the waiver wire, Lazard seemed to be the guy, whether for better or worse by default, was the guy that Rodgers just wanted to throw the ball to because he just lacked confidence in everybody else. And Aaron Rodgers needs to get over himself and figure that out, because it's not going to be a formula for success as the season goes on. So to answer the question, yeah, if you have Lazard, you look at all the different options you have there. He is, I think, more of a hold guy than a start guy, unless you are absolutely desperate. I don't think it's a great play. And I do think the Raiders are going to be competitive in this football game too, especially with the injuries that the Packers are dealing with now, with that Devontae Adams, now MVS. So don't overlook the Raiders in this one, because the Raiders are fresh off a bye, off a big win. They are getting the ball to Josh Jacobs more, and they just locked up one of their tight ends here for a couple years, which is a real feel-good story, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm all in on Lazard. If both those two guys don't play, I think he's going to have a monster game against the Raiders on Sunday. I'm starting him in every fantasy league if those two guys are out. If Allison and Valdez-Scantling is out, and assuming Devontae Adams is, I think this guy is going to be a monster on Sunday. A lot of catches, a lot of yards, and maybe even a touchdown. I don't care what the Raiders are throwing out there. Rodgers is still an elite quarterback in the league no matter what they're doing. They may run the ball more, but when does Aaron Rodgers not throw for 200 yards in a football game? That's going to happen.
Well, he always throws for 200, but he hasn't thrown for more than 240 only one time, and that was the one time they lost this year.
I don't give a bleep. If he throws for 200 yards and they have no receivers and this is the only guy, he is going to catch five balls for 60 yards, which is PPR3 right now in fantasy.
You're right. Look, I'll tell you what. I would rather start Cole Beasley this week than him, another PPR kind of wide receiver, just because of the confidence level and because we don't know. Maybe Dallason does show up. Maybe they just go so heavy with the running game and Jamal Williams is the guy that ends up catching the ball 10 times. I'm not saying what you're talking about isn't possible. It absolutely is. And as a flex play, I get it a lot more than as a wide receiver three play. But at the same time, if this guy was so good, where the hell was he before this? Why? You know, a lot of times that happens where you see these guys.
Oh, no, he may not be good, but there's no one else, Joe. If they have no one else on Sunday and you're not advocating him as starting on your fantasy team, I think that you're making a big mistake. I mean, no one else, if they don't have their top three receivers and this guy is playing, you don't think this guy's going to go 5 for 50 in this game?
I think 5 for 50. If he gives you 5 for 50, I think you're very happy with that pickup this week on a 4-team bye week. I think you're very happy with that.
But only if those two guys.
I agree with you. I think you take it.
If those two guys are out, right, I throw it all away.
If
Allison plays in this game, I completely change my opinion of it. But if I go into Sunday and I see those guys inactive, I am putting this guy in the lineup for sure. No clarity on the Rams.
These guys too, Darius Shepard, Jake Kumerow. I mean, it's not like they have so many guys. And I guess my question is, like, why? What was it about this guy all of a sudden that, you know, was the difference? Like, why was he the guy?
Is Aaron Rodgers, and he's just as much the head coach as LaFleur. That's it.
Okay, that's a fair assessment.
I mean, look, if Peyton Manning wants a guy to play, then Peyton Manning's going to throw to the guy that he wants. I mean, we've saw that in the past, and so Tom Brady the same. Whoever these guys have as their favorite target is going to get targeted. And I think that it's clear that that Aaron Rodgers likes this guy Lazard, and I had never heard of him, but I will say this, you're down to nothing. Someone has got to catch the ball and someone has got to score. It may not be the game script that plays out with the running backs, but it will with this receiver. He should be 100% owned in every fantasy league right now, in my opinion. And by the way, the Raiders, even though they may be good, they are certainly not great, and they can give up their fair share of yards through the air, as we saw against Chase Daniel a couple of weeks ago. The Rams running back situation is also a very big mess. We may not have clarity on this one until Sunday at 1:00 Eastern. Malcolm Brown didn't practice. There was a report yesterday that Todd Gurley is getting closer to being healthy, but also a chance that he does not play this week. It's too late now for Darrell Henderson. If you don't own him, that ship is gone. If this guy is the only running back for the Rams this week, he's a must start. He's a must own and a must play, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially if Gurley is out. I'm always concerned about the Rams' workload of running backs and how much they commit to that, especially in a game with the Falcons where you imagine this game is going to be high scoring and going back and forth. You would imagine Jared Goff and everybody gets back on track. It's hard to imagine they don't, considering how bad the Falcons' defense has been. But I also wonder, too, I wonder if you could start Henderson even if Gurley does play in this game as a flex, you know, if Brown is out. I think that's the other thing you have to strongly consider. And knowing that the Falcons struggle mightily against running backs who catch the ball in the backfield, that could be a role that Henderson actually fills this week. So there's a lot of upside there.
Could be. Henderson, to me, is the one name that I'm circling in fantasy this week, because if for some reason this guy, and look, we don't know if it's going to happen, but if this guy gets 15 carries for 100 yards and a couple scores, this is a game-changing player in fantasy. These are the kind of things that win leagues. I don't know if it will happen or not, but I certainly have my eyes very, very closely on this guy this week. All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next is the opening drive. Joe and Craig with you. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Fantasy Sports Today presents
First Play from Scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
Cut the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
It is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today. It is Thursday, so football is back. We've got the Broncos and Chiefs coming up a little bit later. We'll have a preview of that game. Also, some propositions for tonight, the spread, the total, the players, everything that you want to get to. Also, John Love will give us a college football preview coming up this week. But let's get started with first down. And in the opening drive, got to start off with the retirement of Brock Osweiler. Wow, Osweiler got paid off that one season where Peyton Manning was down. Congratulations to him. He retires a very wealthy man. And you know what? I look back on it now and yeah, he'll be looked at as a bust, and yeah, wherever he goes, everyone will remember him as that. When he's doing his appearances, certainly people will shake his hand and think, oh yeah, there's Brock Osweiler, the guy that got paid and was a bust. But good for him. The guy was able to make something out of that career. He was able to convince a couple of people off of half a dozen starts that he should be a star. It's not the first time, Joe, that it's happened in the NFL, and it won't be the last.
No, it absolutely isn't. And I remember one great Brock Osweiler game beating the Patriots in overtime a couple years ago, and man, was I pissed about that. And I remember Brock Osweiler being the savior of the Texans. I remember the narrative of, well, if DeAndre Hopkins was that good with Hoyer, who was so bad, imagine how good he'll be with Brock Osweiler. Well, that never came to fruition. But he did cash in on over $40 plus million in his career. And I'm telling you this right now, Craig, and I'm sure you'll take this deal too. I'm going to lay it out here for you right on the line. I'm going to give you $40 million, but people call you a bust and make fun of you the rest of your life. I'm at peace with that. How about you?
Yeah. Me too.
How about $20 million?
I'm definitely good with that. You know what? Listen, he could. Dan Orlovsky, who is now an incredible analyst on television calling the NFL, Dan Orlovsky did not have a good NFL career. When people talk about Dan Orlovsky and they show that clip of him running out of the back of the end zone, that's what he's known for, and he knows that. But you know what? He's taken that all the way to the bank. So exactly. I guarantee you that I'd be good with that as well. Second down, Miles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns, Joe, takes a picture with a fan who then decides to whack him in the face. One of the more bizarre stories that we've seen this year. Garrett then, of course, went on social media and said it's going to take a lot more to take him down, obviously. But one of the weirder stories that we've seen. Why take a picture with a guy to only whack him in the face?
Why not take the picture as you're whacking him? What, shouldn't it be a video? So you have it on video?
Very like that, strange.
Like, the whole thing is bizarre. I don't understand. Are you sure he just wasn't like an Italian guy came out and he was like, hey, no, and he slapped him around? Because like everybody in my family does that all the time. That's just normal.
I think it was your kid's bus driver.
Don't start me on the bus today.
It could have been.
The bus that doesn't show, the phantom bus, it doesn't show up. That's why I'm in a mood today. But seriously, I mean, this is the most bizarre thing. First of all, anybody who like hops out of their car to take a picture, I'm already kind of standoffish. And this is why some athletes get bad raps about this stuff, because they have to deal with weird people all the time. Weird, inappropriate people. They want to pull over, stop, get out of their car. And if I'm Miles Garrett, this kind of already puts me off. And then you're going to hit me in the face and people wonder why they go, the athletes are jerks. They don't want to, hey, you know, take a picture with me. Or they want to sign my kid's stuff. You know what? Look, if they don't want to do it, that's up to them. If you ask them nicely and they say no, they have every right to say no about these things. And this is why, because people are jerks and people do weird things. This makes no sense to me. Why would you pick a fight with Miles Garrett? He's got the reach of like, I don't know, like of George Foreman, for God's sakes. Like, he's one of the strongest guys out there. I wouldn't punch Miles Garrett in the face.
No, that's the understatement of the year, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
The whole thing did not make a lot of sense.
I would punch Aaron Rodgers in the face. I feel pretty confident I could take Aaron Rodgers. Just saying.
Okay, well, I don't think so.
I could take Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. But Miles Garrett, no way. I'm not picking that fight.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I am a stickler about guys giving autographs and taking pictures. I'm very big on that and very anti them denying it. But these are the kind of stories that when they happen, you can kind of understand why. But if they're on a field or they're at a game, or it's after a game or before a game or spring training, and I've seen this play out before, I can't stand guys who deny. And whether I don't care if it's adults, kids, whoever. I mean, you're getting millions and millions of dollars. I don't care that you're asked a billion times. I think that you should sign every autograph and take every picture. That's just the opinion that I have. All right, so the American League Championship Series was rained out yesterday, Joe. They'll play again tonight. So this is a good reset for the Houston Astros. I think that this puts the Yankees in a world of trouble now, having exactly all of their pitchers at full strength. I mean, I would assume that it's a must-win game for the Yankees today in the Bronx, Joe. It's got to be.
Oh, absolutely. And the wind's blowing everywhere here right now. I don't know what's going to be a game time here, but there's been absolutely ferocious winds, so I don't know if it's going to maintain all day into the evening. I mean, we're talking garbage cans blowing all over the place here in the New York area, so all I can say is I don't know if it's going to be blowing out or blowing in, but that could have a big impact on this game, so definitely check that out, too. But you're right. We're in a spot here where the Yankees are definitely back against the wall. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, yeah, I'm really excited about the prospects of an Astros National Series because of those pitching matchups. When you can throw, and I don't know if I ever remember this, three Cy Young caliber arms on both sides, that's an incredible thing. There's been some really good pitching matchups and some one-offs and some guys who have stepped up and become guys during a postseason. But we're talking about Corbin, Strasburg, Scherzer, and on the other side, Verlander, Cole, Greinke. Six guys who are Cy Young ace caliber type pitchers on any team. That's pretty incredible. Do you ever remember something potentially stacking up like that?
No,
I don't. Usually get like two, maybe two and two at the most, but not six total.
The other thing that should excite fans and for baseball, if that's what moves you, is the fact that with that also, you would assume the games will be very fast and low scoring. So the idea of having to stay up at the 1 a.m. to watch these games, I think, will be out for this series, at least for the first three games. So I'm very excited for it. Look, it looks like Houston has a massive advantage now in their series with the Yankees, although all it will require is this one win by the Yanks to get right back in this thing today. So we'll see what happens later tonight. It should be an exciting one. The World Series starts on Tuesday. All right, fourth down. The XFL had their draft yesterday. Now, I went through this a little bit on my old show on satellite radio, where they had this draft and they had this other league, and I was being forced to talk about it. I was being forced to get into it. I fought back massively on it. I at the very beginning when they announced the league, I said it was going to fold. I think we're wasting our time talking about this, but no, I was forced into the situation, and I'll never forget the day that they canned the league, that I sent the text what did I, and I never send a what did I tell you or I was right, never. But in this situation, I did. I was like, I told you, we were wasting our time with this extra football league. Nobody cares about extra football. It's the same thing as propping up minor league baseball as the equivalent of major league baseball. No one's going to care. It's washed up people. So, Joe, if you want to have at this, have at it. But I am not doing the XFL. I am not doing it on this show. You want to? I would never take content out of a show that you've worked so hard to put together. But feel free to discuss anybody that you want, because again, we're down a road here where the first name on the list is a washed up NFL player, a washed up AAF player, a washed up player in general. I feel bad for these guys because they have to keep going, and obviously they have to make a living. And I'm never going to disrespect the hustle, but this is a complete waste of time.
Well, now I know how you feel about it. Honestly, I was just throwing it in there because it was something in sports, and usually fourth down we do something kind of more of the novelty.
But this is a joke, man.
Well, I said novelty. This is a novelty.
These football leagues are a joke, and you know what's going to happen is there are going to be some cute people who think that they can build content off this. It happened with the other league also. We were having the coaches on and Steve Spurrier and the Orlando Apollos and the whole, and I never bite back on content whenever I'm told to do something. That's what I do. But
and that's why you're now, and now after that, I told you so text, now you're stuck working with me at a different
network.
There
it is. That's what the result was.
Did you see what happens when you don't play
and I was Greg and Mish. I was and you know what happened was I fought back so hard that I was the one host and the one show that we really didn't have to do it. But that, well, here's the only I was right text of all of 2019, because that one I was so certain that it wasn't going to work. And by the way, with the XFL, they can have all the money involved in it also. No one is going to care, man.
Well, that is one thing. Here's a couple differences with the XFL. And I'm not disagreeing with any point you're making at all. I think you're 100% right on all of them. So let me preface it by saying that. I did watch the XFL documentary with the 30 for 30, which was fascinating. And I do remember at the time the XFL kind of getting off to a wacky hot start. And I remember kind of going, well, this is kind of weird. And you were watching it because it was part football, part freak show.
I remember. Yeah.
And it was a very different. It wasn't what you were talking about, which is minor league football, basically, or whatever that is. And I'm not of the mind that spring football can't work at all. I'm of the mind that the only way it can work is if they practice and run teams for a good year before they start playing games. And that was my big takeaway from that documentary. Because if you go back and you listen to what everybody said about it, it's like they had some talent, they had some people in there, but the problem was the structure in place just failed, which is kind of what happened to the recent spring football league, that the structure wasn't sound enough, right? Yeah. And I think if you actually really took it down to the base thing and said, hey, let's really worry about football, and you had them scrimmage, you had them play practices, you had them really not throw it together quickly, but really had them work these things and then went to TV with the product, which I know is asking a lot. It's a long time to wait. I think there's potential that football, like we said yesterday on the show, is so popular you can make it work.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this isn't going to be a disaster, but the problem is nobody wants to have the patience to do it correctly.
I don't think that this is worth 10 seconds of my time.
We spent two minutes.
2 minutes I'll never get back, so that's fine. All right, coming up next, let's get to the NFL. Is the wrong team favorite? We'll dive into these games next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taron Killam, and Carrie Brownstein Epstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Do you want to risk-free wagers of up to $1,000? Go to pointsbet.com/grid and open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID and you will get two risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. For example, if you're playing tonight's NFL game and you bet the Chiefs -3 and they beat the Broncos by 7, you'll receive 7 times your stake. Wow, that is pointsbet.com/grid. Enter promo code GRID and get your two risk-free bets of up to $1,000 today. Eligibility restrictions apply. You must be in New Jersey to qualify. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, it's that time of the show and it's that time of the week where we go through, is the wrong team favorite in the NFL? Now, before we get into this, Joe, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice before you make your selections. Just as a reminder, in the NFL, road teams are covering, and in the NFL, at almost a 64% rate against the spread, and underdogs are covering at nearly 62% in the NFL in 2019. Now, one thing has nothing to do with the other. The trend may certainly change this week, and all of the favorites may end up winning. But I just wanted to provide this information to you before we begin this segment, and then you can do with it as you wish. Are you ready to go?
I love this segment. It's my favorite thing that we do.
Okay, so take some underdogs, please, this week, okay?
Well, look, last week I didn't want to, but I wasn't wrong about a lot of them.
You did very bad.
I did not do very bad last week.
Very bad. Yeah, very bad. Awful.
Are you keeping track of these?
I go into it and I keep track. I do.
What did I blow last week?
Almost all of them.
I got Pittsburgh right.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Saints in Carolina, and you got the rest wrong. Yeah.
All right.
So again, take some dogs here.
All right.
At least two.
In all fairness, I usually do take some dogs. I did not like last week's slate.
Okay. Well, and again, a lot of 2-point doesn't matter what you like. The numbers are not lying this year. The underdogs are covering yet again in the NFL.
All right. Okay. So, all right. Let's go.
If you don't take two, I'm just going to tell you now, it ain't going to go well.
At least two.
All right. Here we go. Giants -3 versus the Cardinals. There's no home field advantage clearly in this game because they're giving the Giants. They're telling you that it's -3. That's what you get for being the home team. Giants -3 against Arizona is the wrong team favored in this game.
Yes, I think the wrong team is favored. I think the Cardinals are starting to play a little bit more some confidence there. I think Patrick Peterson coming back is going to be a good positive trend for that defense. I could certainly use some more talent on it. So that's a positive. Now you're getting Saquon back too, but I'm curious to see how effective he's going to be in this game and how much they will push him out of the gate. My guess is if he's on the field, it's going to be regular Saquon. But I do believe in Kyler Murray's ability to make plays, and I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. So even though I think the Giants could squeak out a W here in a close game, I do think that the Cardinals will cover. So there you go. There's your underdog right off the bat.
There it is, right off the bat, +3.
Man, okay. I feel so much pressure. God, you're such a bully. You're a points bully. You're a betting bully.
I tend to agree. I think the Cardinals have a shot at this one.
Oh.
On both, yeah. All right, so the next game here is one that I'm just going to stay away from because if there's one team that I've been completely off on all season long, it's the Vikings. When I take them to win, they lose. When I take them to lose, they win. This week, this line has gone back and forth, and as we are doing the show right now, it is Vikings -1 at the Lions. So that's the current line. A slight favorite at Detroit could end up being a pick 'em. And who knows, the Vikings could be 1.5 or 2 by the time the game kicks off. But for now, we have the Vikings as the favorite at the Lions. Is the wrong team favorite?
Yes, the wrong team's favorite. Lions are going to win this football game because it basically is a pick 'em right now. And I think the Lions are pissed off right now. And I think they're going to take it out on the Vikings. Vikings have played very well, but they've played two defenses that have some holes in them. And I think this defense here with the Lions is going to play them tough. I think that building is going to be fired up. I think the Lions are starting to believe that they can compete with everybody. And I think they take out their aggressions on the Vikings this week. Going to be a close game. I agree. I understand why it's one, but I will take the Lions here. I think they can win this football game, and I think they will. So there you go. That's two, you bully.
There it is. I'm going to take the Vikings, which means I'll be wrong, but I am going to take the Vikings this week, and I just see them.
I'll be right. Perfect.
Yeah, I just see them as the better team.
They are the better team.
Detroit. But again, you know, I've been wrong on Minnesota all year long. I did say at the beginning of the season that I thought Detroit in the first few games would get off to a good start like they always do and then fall apart. I'm going to stick to that prediction, but this will be the changer right here. This is the one. If Detroit ends up beating Minnesota, then that narrative of that falling apart type team that they do every season, it will be incorrect, and they will be a good team in the NFL, but they have to win this game. If not, this could go south in a hurry. Jaguars -3.5 at the Bengals. The Jags have certainly come back down to earth for sure, and so has our guy Minshew. The Bengals seem to be into letting teams go up big and then scoring a late touchdown to cover the spread, which they've done already twice this season. But simply put, is the wrong team favored in this game? Jaguars -3 at the Bengals.
No, and I'm not going to overreact to last week because the Saints play good D. I mean, let's be honest. Fournette's going to run amok in this game over the Bengals. Minshew will get back. There's nobody on the cornerback side to stop DJ Chark, whereas last week they did have that guy with the Saints. So I think this is a gross overreaction if people aren't buying right back into Jacksonville. Minshew's played very well on the road this year. So absolutely the right team is favored here, and I think the Jaguars win this one by more than 3.5.
Yeah, I think that this would be a team that I would also agree with you here. I think Cincinnati looks in the mirror now, understands that it's over, and their best bet is to lose the rest of the season. No team would admit it, but I think that they're in that situation. Although if I was betting it, and I would probably buy a half point because this game could be a 3 at the end. All right, boy, this one is tough. I think this could be the toughest game, honestly, on the board. Rams -3 at the Falcons this week. I mean, this screams to take the Rams. I got to tell you, Joe, I am not going to do it. I am not going to take the Rams in this game. I think the wrong team is favorite in this game. I think the Rams could be cooked. I am very worried about them after watching that game last week. I don't think Atlanta's good at all either, Joe. But I just couldn't take the Rams in this one. It would be either a no play for me or take the Falcons.
I'm going to take a lesson from my good friend, the wise Craig Mish, and say which one of these teams is really playing for something here. And I think the Rams are really playing. I think the Falcons were playing for something last week and the week before that, and they're just toast. I think the Falcons have already folded up the tents. I think they're done. The Rams just added Jalen Ramsey. The Rams look at the schedule as we did, I'm sure, and say, hey, we can get to 10 wins. If we get to 10 wins, we can still make the playoffs, even though we think that they might get to 10 wins and not make the playoffs potentially because of where they put themselves behind the eight ball. I think the right team is favored here. I think the Rams will win this football game because at the end of the day, the Falcons can't stop anyone. And they've played some inferior offenses and can't stop them. The Rams will rebound. The Rams have too many weapons. The Falcons are hot garbage on defense. And at the end of the day, that's the difference maker.
All right. Tennessee -2 against the Chargers. The Titans looked as bad as any team in the NFL did last week. And then the Chargers looked worse on Sunday night. So go figure this one. Wrong team favorite in this one, Joe. Tennessee -2 against the Chargers.
I'm running away from this game, but yeah, I will play the game. Can we just skip this one? No, I think the wrong team is favored because I think the Chargers are the better football team still. And I will always take the better quarterback. And right now you're asking me, is it Tannehill or Phillip Rivers? I will always take my chances with the better quarterback in these kind of coin flip games. So yeah, I do think the wrong team is favored, but it's not a game that I feel very confident in at all. So I would run away from this game.
Hard pass for me, and I'm moving on. Seattle, this is an interesting line here. Seattle -3 versus the Ravens. Okay, why is it weird? Seattle, for the last decade, has had a significant home field advantage over teams, and they've looked pretty good this season. But this is a very fishy line for them to only be 3-point favorites against a team that doesn't look that great in Baltimore. They're basically saying that these two teams are dead even, and it's Seattle -3. So they are dragging you to Seattle, Joe. That's the way that they want you to bet this one, is to take the Seahawks. Which way do you got? Which way are you going here?
I think the right team is favored. I do. And I think the reason why the line is what it is because you've had a loss at home already this year with the Saints, who we've seen as a defensive team can go on the road and really shut people down. Look what they did to Minshew last week. They did it to the Bears. Like they've been very, very good. Defensively for the most part this year. They've given up some big games here and there. Yeah, the first one out of the gate against Watson wasn't good, but overall, especially on the road, they've really been road warriors there. And on top of which, I think this is a lot of respect for Lamar Jackson and how much of a game wrecker he can be at any given moment. There were a lot of designed runs for Lamar Jackson last week. I'm curious to see if that carries over, if that was a unique game plan, because I think he's even more dangerous when you don't design the run and he just runs amok. I will take the Seahawks, though. I think that the right team is favored.
Yeah, I'll take Baltimore. I think the line is telling you that it is Baltimore in this one. I mean, I don't know why Seattle's not 4 or 5 point favorites in this one. And so that tells me that the right side is Baltimore. So I'll roll with the dog in this one. Bears versus the Saints. Bears are -3. And this line catches some people off guard, too, because people think, wow, the Saints have won so many games in a row and Teddy Bridgewater's looked solid. But unspectacular, obviously. And even in the first half of that Jacksonville game last week, he didn't do anything. Bears are off a bye week. They're at home. No favorite, basically, in this one. Just give the Bears their 3 points because they're at home. Is the wrong team favored in this game?
I think they are. I think the wrong team is favored. I don't know how or why, but I just feel like the Saints are going to find a way to win this football game because they seem to be able to do that with a regularity in games where there's very tough matchups ahead of them. They see the tougher the matchup, they seem to get up. And then it's the other games, like when they play the Bucs, where you go, what the hell? Why aren't you putting this team away? And look, we'll see if Trubisky plays or not. I know things are starting to trend in that direction where Nagy's right. Kind of when they will see, we're looking positive. We don't have all that information yet. Maybe by the end of today, we'll have more clarity on it. But I got to tell you, I think the Saints win this football game and find a way again. So, yeah, I think the wrong team is favored in this one, too.
Okay, yeah, we'll go ahead. So
look, that's a bunch of dogs. There's like four dogs I've already picked there.
You took the Saints, the Chargers.
Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
And the Lions.
And Lions, that's four. Okay, good. So there you go. So you got a good shot this week. Yeah, but I'm going to go head-to-head against you on this one. I'm going to take the Bears.
Good.
Good. Okay, the final one is Cowboys-Eagles play. I love looking at this, staring and taking three from Dallas, but I'm going to be a hard pass on this game, man. Division game, I think you threw everything out the window. I don't have a clue, but Cowboys are -3 at the Eagles.
I feel like this is a playoff game, basically, because Dallas, from a mental standpoint, has lost three in a row, and that is crushing. They lose another game at home, no less, against the Eagles. This could really be a problem for them later on the year. I think the Eagles are just a better football team right now. In every look, they competed a great deal in that Minnesota game. At the end of the day, Minnesota's a tough place to play. I think they can go in and beat Dallas. I think the wrong team's favorite here. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way that I would lean toward this. I just, I have
the Eagles smell blood in the water right now. And I think the Eagles are a better football team. And the one thing right now, especially with Cooper out of this game, the one thing the Eagles are good at is stopping the run. Fletcher Cox, all those guys up front, they're really good. And I think that if they can contain Ezekiel Elliott enough and make Dak Prescott beat them without Amari Cooper, I think that's a tall ask. I really do.
All right, so that is the wrong team favorite segment. Coming up next, our good friend is going to join us here on the show, John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, talks about college football. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia, and unfortunately Johnny Lobb could not do our show today, but we'll have John back on next week to talk a little college football. And unfortunately, Joe, for me going into this week, I'm a little bit melancholy, of course, because my Florida Gators did not get the job done at LSU. They were 2 touchdown underdogs. And on Saturday night, let me kind of break down what happened for you. I'm watching the game, and you can only imagine this, Joe. You've been to events before where you're with your kids or you're doing something and you're having to peek at your phone. Everybody's been there before. But this is the Gators, right? So I'm at last Saturday night. I'm at this bat mitzvah in Fort Lauderdale. And I decided, okay, look, I'm not going to go crazy with the Gators unless the game is close, because you never know how a game can go. So I get my phone out and I start, you know, I pull up the game. I start watching. It's 7-7-0, 7-7, 14-7, 14-14. We're going back and forth on the game. And then I'm like full out all watching the game live on my phone. You think that's a bad look by me being an event doing that?
Is this family or friends?
Friends.
Your friends or the kids' friends?
Kids friends.
No, it's a perfectly good look. You're there, you're doing the right thing, especially you're giving a gift. As long as you aren't watching the game and holding the chair when you're doing the chair thing up and down with the other hand, because that's not safe. As long as you weren't doing that at the same time, I think you're clear. I think it's all right. Friends of your kids and you show up too, that's nice of them to extend the invite, but I'm sure deep down you'd rather just drop them off for that party, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have rather watched the game for sure. And so it got to about the third quarter.
Why didn't your wife do you a solid and say, hey, don't worry, you stay home, watch the game.
No way.
No, she wouldn't do that for you.
Solo at a Saturday night event? No chance. Mm-mm. No, I got to eat it and go. What's crazy to me is when people have events and they don't, and I know it sounds nuts, and look, these are the biggest times in people's lives, and I get it. But if you're not, if you don't have any awareness of football season when you're planning your events, you're making a mistake, especially here in the state of Florida. Because where you are in New Jersey, Joe, look, I understand.
It's the same. People go crazy. I mean,
but not on Saturdays there.
No, not on Saturdays. Saturdays in the fall here, it's fine. Sundays in the fall here, it's a disaster.
Think about it. If you live in Florida, in all likelihood, and again, let's say that there's 10 football fans out of 10. How many either went to the University of Miami, the University of Florida, Florida State University? And in all likelihood, at some UCF. Point, those two, right, UCF and USF are not as big a deal.
But no, UCF, well, the last couple of years.
They have been, but the passion from those fans, while it is very intense, it's very small as compared to, because okay, remember,
fair enough.
The University of Florida has been around for 100 years, Florida State 100 years, Miami 70 years. And so there's alumni and there's fans of those. So the first thing that I always check when I'm invited to one of these events is like, what is going on? Like, what is the event? What am I going to miss? And the good thing is that most people recognize that they won't have their event on a Sunday for a Dolphins game. I know this year's a little bit different where people don't care nearly as much, but I was always very surprised. And I did cover the Dolphins for many years. I went home and rode with them and home and rode with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I used to look at it a lot more. And now with the invention of the phone and being able to watch everything on the phone, it's probably not even as big a deal too, but I just could never believe when people would have events and they would not even consider the fact that there is football. Maybe that's being selfish of me.
And there's no, like, it wasn't like in a bar restaurant kind of place, right? It looks like a, It's like just a catering hall. There's no like outside bar where you could like
there
sit
is,
around.
There, I've been to those two where that's been available. I've been to those two, but that's kind of rude to leave the event.
It is. Walk, no? But you were sitting there on your phone at the table. And what was your wife doing while you were on the phone at the table?
On the dance floor.
She was on. So here's my thing. As a single parent, which I am, your life is going to these events with your kids solo. So what's the big deal? Like, honestly, like if she's out of the dance floor anyway, and you're not a dance, are you a dancing guy, Craig Mish? I bet you might be.
It depends on the event. It depends. I will definitely oblige, but I'm not and back in the day, I was a crazy dancer, but not anymore. You know,
but like in a cage, like when it was like in your underwear kind of cage dancer kind of guys, like that kind of.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, you know,
Now I want to know young Craig Mish. I'd like to know more about this guy. This guy sounds like a party, man.
Ooh. Listen, I went to North Miami Senior High School. I was the homecoming king.
You were? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thousands of kids going to school. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Craig Mish.
I was the pep rally committee chairman, getting people hyped for the games. Yeah. But then I got old and crusty and that was the end.
It's funny because I like old and crusty Craig Mish, don't get me wrong, but he's pretty much been the guy that I've known for the last decade.
That's it. You haven't known me before. Yeah. Even my wife says the same thing. She's like, I knew you before you mellowed out and all that. Yeah. And she can't believe it when there are stories that we have these reunions and then, oh, you didn't know him back then. He was wild. He was nuts. Yeah, it's true.
Wow. I kind of want to go to Vegas with you and see if we can get old Craig Mish to show up.
I don't know. Nah. In fact, I went last year. A buddy of mine, he turned 50, mm-hmm. and he invited me to. It wasn't Vegas, so that's true. So let's use a quantifier. Vegas, there's nowhere like Vegas. But we did go for a gambling weekend in Biloxi, Mississippi, but it was just all tame.
Oh, my
gambling.
God. Did you bring your six shooter? Like, what happens there? You guys on a riverboat?
No, it was cool. They have sports betting in Mississippi now. This is before New Jersey.
Sure. So, they were bolo ties and boots and the whole
There were no bolo ties, Joe.
Yeah, sure there weren't.
Come to the South, bet you. Every once in
Biloxi,
a while,
Missouri, I can find a guy wearing a bolo tie. I could do it. I bet you could pull off the bolo tie. You could pull it off.
We went on a Saturday and stayed for the NFL, and then I came back on Monday.
I don't, you know, at the end of it all, if it's family, you don't get on your phone. I think if it's friends, you don't get on your phone. It's your kids' friends, and they invite the parents, which is a nice gesture, and it's on a Saturday in Florida, and you cover sports for a living. Let's also keep in mind, you cover sports for a living. This is your livelihood that you support your children and you make money to then write a check for your kid's friend's bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. I think you're in the clear. How do you feel about the Florida Gators this week at South Carolina? Nice big easy win.
I think the Gators have a good shot here. South Carolina coming off a huge, huge win. There's always that possibility of a letdown. And I think Florida still has a lot to play for. They have the SEC East to play for, by the way. The winner between Florida and Georgia, in all likelihood, is going to get a chance to play for the SEC championship. South Carolina now has the win over Georgia. And so South Carolina is in position to play for the SEC championship. That's always a very big deal in December. So the winner of this game, Joe, is, put it this way. If South Carolina beats Florida, South Carolina is going to play in the SEC championship game. Missouri also has an outside shot. But if Florida beats South Carolina and then Florida plays Georgia in the Florida-Georgia game, which is coming up in November, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, they call it, neutral site game between Florida and Georgia in Jacksonville. If the Gators win that one, they go. So I do like Florida this week. Last week, I was like, oh, gosh. I mean,
well, they were in the first half, man. First half,
they look great.
Good.
They look great. They
really good defensive team. For what I've seen, the defense is really good. What are your feelings about number 12 Oregon at number 25 Washington? Because I think a lot of people kind of split on this one. It seems like from a pick standpoint.
I thought Washington would lay flat after coming off a loss against Stanford, but they went into Arizona and crushed them. Oregon has not been probably as good as some people thought going into the season, but. My lean probably would be, I still don't think Washington's as good as they have been in years past. So I probably would lead Oregon in this one.
All right. Can Temple upset SMU? Because I know Temple has.
I would have to look more into that to honestly have an educated opinion there. Is anybody paying any attention, Joe, to Rutgers football up there as to what's going on?
No. It's funny because the kid, Artur Zakowski, who was playing quarterback off and on for them the last 2 years. He actually is from my high school where I went to school in Jersey. And
the quarterback coach, who quit or no?
Did he? No, this is the quarterback that got punched in the head by his lineman a couple weeks ago. I don't know if he quit after that.
Their starting quarterback and starting running back both pulled that same story that Houston did earlier in the season, decided not to play the rest of the season.
I'm going to have to look this up, but was it
Zakowski? Yeah, take a look. Yeah, Rutgers, they fired their head coach, their quarterback and running back both decided to not play the rest of the year. They're trying to convince them to stay at Rutgers. If I'm not mistaken, they haven't scored a point since.
Lost 35-0. It doesn't say that, you know, I don't see anything about him not do like.
Well, they didn't score a point last week against Indiana. They're 28-point underdogs this week at home. There are some places that aren't even taking bets on Rutgers anymore. This is how bad it's gotten.
It is him. Don't blame Artur Zakowski for looking out for himself. But this was something this kid always did. He says he's contemplating redshirting. I guess this is two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so he actually did it. So here's the thing about this kid. He brought them to a state championship. And the head coach is a guy I used to play baseball with, who also was the quarterback of our football team in high school. And good dude. He's been coached there for about 10 years now. And he lost this kid. He was like a sophomore by the time they got to the state championship game. I think they lost, but the kid left to go down to one of those prep schools down by you in Florida in the Miami area. And he ended up, you know, I guess coming back to New Jersey or to Rutgers. I guess things didn't work out as well as he thought they might have. But it seems like this kid has always kind of had it in for himself. Because I guess he didn't think they threw the ball enough to showcase him as a quarterback in New Jersey where he was. So he had to go to the prep school.
The end result is we're looking at one of the worst teams ever in college football. They play Minnesota this week.
And yeah, they're going to get pwned.
And it's 28. I believe the line is 28. And then, of course, big game this week also between Michigan and Penn State. Penn State is 9.5-point favorites in this one. So
I would imagine Penn State wins that one handily, right?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It's the Big Ten.
God, Michigan's not always good this year.
This is it. This is probably the last hurrah for Harbaugh there. This is probably it.
Well, it's funny, you know, going back to Rutgers real quick, too. When Shiana was there, there was this sense that it was becoming a thing. There's a lot of positivity. And I can tell you, they built the new stadium around that time. It was hot. And the new stadium's only like 20 minutes from my house. And yet I have never been. Never been there. I've never been to a college football game, period, in my entire life. I'd like to go. Yeah. No one will take me. I don't know why, but I'd like to go. But I would like to experience what that is. A real, not like, and that's what I feel like. I was like, well, I don't want to go to Rutgers for my first college football. I want to go to like Penn State or, you know, go to one of these like storied colleges and experience what that is. But there was a time here where it was getting really hot. And then Shiano left to go to the NFL, I want to say, right? I don't
know. It's Tampa Bay.
Tampa, right? And then it just died. The program kind of died with him, which is funny because there were a ton of kids that got funneled from there to the Patriots over a couple years there. They were very Rutgers happy in terms of drafting. Yeah. One time they had 8 kids from Rutgers on their roster. So I don't know what went on there or why these things go awry, but why is that? Do you have any insight on why programs start to go in the uptick and then one guy leaves and they can't continue it on? Is it much about the one guy?
Yeah, the coaches. Well, what happens is
you just lose out on recruiting, right? When that guy leaves.
That is the key. Yes. What happens is that when it's by surprise, a lot of the kids don't honor their commitment and they go to other places. And then a new coach has to come in and say, whoa, 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 you know, please don't leave. It usually doesn't work and it can set a program back years and years. That's a very big part of it. Now, if it's one of the main schools, like the bigger schools, then it's usually not a problem. But as a good example, here in the state of Florida, Joe, you would take a look at perennially one of the best teams in the country is Florida State, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jimbo Fisher was the head coach at FSU and he left to go to Texas A&M and they have been a disaster ever since then. And so some of it's coaching. A lot of it is recruiting, though. These kids who are 5-star recruits, they get a promise from a coach and then the coach bails on them. They feel like they've been disowned, so to speak. And so, you know what happens immediately after that? A lot of the coaches, they start calling, hey, look what happened. Your guy who said he was going to be there, he's not there. And then that's it. And then that's part of it. All right, that's our college football discussion for today, believe it or not. Coming up next, we'll have the best of the first hour of the show. And then coming up in hour number 2, we'll dive back into some fantasy football, some props on tonight's Thursday night NFL game, and plenty more to come. You're listening to Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Thank you.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change. Like,
so this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. Giants -3 versus the Cardinals. There's no home field advantage clearly in this game because they're giving the Giants... they're telling you that it's -3. That's what you get for being the home team. Giants -3 against Arizona is the wrong team favored in this game.
Yes, I think the wrong team is favored. I think the Cardinals are starting to play a little bit more some confidence there. I think Patrick Peterson coming back is going to be a good positive trend for that defense. I could certainly use some more talent on it. So that's a positive. Now you're getting Saquon back too. But I'm curious to see how effective he's going to be in this game and how much they will push him out of the gate. My guess is if he's on the field, it's going to be regular Saquon. But I do believe in Kyler Murray's ability to make plays, and I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. So even though I think the Giants could squeak out a W here in a close game, I do think that the Cardinals will cover. So there you go. There's your underdog right off the
there
bat.
There it is, like right that. Off the bat, +3.
Man, okay. I feel yeah, so much pressure. God, you're such a bully. You're a points bully. You're a betting bully.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree. I think the Cardinals have a shot at this one.
Oh.
On both, yeah. And we'll be right back with more Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two, if you're listening live, or if you're listening on demand. This is FNTSY Radio, Craig Mish, Fantasy Sports Today.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.